I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation.
What's up, everybody? This is the Bookie A Podcast. I am Chris Daniels. I am without my co-host, Rob Hayes, because of some damaging resurfacing of some materials that, you know, we can't really excuse on a podcast right now. So I'm going to need to take... He has to step away from the podcast for a little bit. We got to take a break. But filling in right now for Rob, I did replace with an ATL connection... I have Shalewa Sharp here, and from D.C., man, Courtney Farrington. Together, they are Thug Passion. I don't know why I did this like this. It was a weird intro.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't?
It wasn't that
Courtney
bad,
was looking at me like it was weird.
Nah, my energy's always high, so.
You know what I realized when I had a pop-up? I don't really go on Facebook much anymore, but I get, like, on this day notifications.
Right.
Thug Passion presents Set It Off was about a year ago. Mm-hmm. Literally, almost to the day a year ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep.
That feels right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was great. You gonna tell them what Thug Passion Set It Off was?
You would explain it? I feel like you guys, it's your idea.
Thug Passion is a brand. we do a bunch of stuff now. So we do comedy shows, we DJ, we got podcasts, it's gonna be so, but Thug Passion Presents is we take black movies,
classic black movies,
cult classics, and we redo them. We pretty much break them down. We get the funniest comedians to reenact the scenes, and I mean the commentary and all of it's great. We did Baby Boy.
Yeah, the ones we've done so far: Baby Boy, New Jack City, and Set It Off, and the world keeps trying to stop our juice, but
we got
can't
the juice.
Let
you
them.
Guys,
yeah, yeah.
You guys need, I feel like that was probably one of the most fun experiences I've ever had.
Chris has been a couple of them.
If you listen to the podcast and like many people who I see in the review section are enamored with my voice, you can see that as maximum potential.
Oh my goodness, Chris so really goes out for it.
We had him play Blair Underwood, and Blair Underwood's character in Set It Off, and I mean he was just like, I am. He sent me a side by side picture in my instant message and was like, I am Blair Underwood. I was made.
There's a level of corniness that I Ooh. Haven't realized mm. that I've been was. Like, I don't know.
Harboring,
emulating, yeah. whatever. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I went back and watched the movie again, I was like, that's me.
I embody all of that.
Yeah. All I need is a tie. Like,
but here's the problem. So Chris is, okay, so the whole thing's funny. Chris's scenes were funny. We were making fun of how corny Blair Underwood was, his game is, and Set It Off. Super corny. If you don't remember, go watch it. It's hella corny. And we were just like, all right, Chris, you just gotta say these corny lines, right? So Chris was just like, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to put a vest on, but I'm not going to have a shirt on under it.
And we're like, well, I mean, that's peak corniness. Yeah,
I mean, because he has a vest on in every scene. So we're like, oh, yeah, you're going to double down on the corniness? Get it. Yeah, it's going to be hilarious. Sure. So in between scenes, to cut up the scenes, we have the lights go down, and then the lights come back up. So we
At this point, we were actually showing a clip from the movie. We'll show clips from the movie, and then we'll have our Thug Passion players with a Z. Thug Passion players will act out a scene. So we were showing a scene, and the lights went down for it. And when the lights came back up,
it was supposed to be the scene where Blair Underwood talks to Jada Pinkett's character in their house, mm-hmm. Or in Blair's studio apartment. And lights come back up. Chris has no shirt on. And it should be corny, but you could hear a gasp from every woman in the audience. Was,
we didn't know really that it was going to happen.
It wasn't ready.
they ain't ready for it.
A silence followed.
I told him I might be trying to float like that.
Oh my God. was terrible.
It's terrible. It's so bad.
We were staying, okay. So Shalewa and I stand next to each other, and we kind of facilitate all of the things. So Jada Pinkett's character delivers her line. Chris has a corny line like the one he just said. He says it in that voice.
That voice.
And you could hear just splash.
The women, now, instead of when we watch the movie as prep, Blair Underwood says the line and we're like, this morning, come on. Chris said it and women in the audience went,
Because, went, no, listen, if you was on set with Blair, I'm sure it would have happened too. There's something about the powers that don't work. When you go through the screen,
Is that what it is? You have to see it in person.
It's a science thing. It's like Medusa when you put the mirror, it won't turn you to stone.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll fact check that for sure.
All right.
It was real intense, though.
Yeah, it was very intense.
My sexual prowess with my voice aside, thank you guys for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
This week, I didn't expect this to happen, but the good Lord Allen Iverson bestowed upon me one of the best events that never happened in my lifetime, which is Fyre Festival 2017.
Fyre Festival. Those are the sounds that they made as the planes approached to take the people screaming off of the island.
Mord fire.
Oh, man. It was... were you guys up in the middle of the night when the tweets started rolling in? You had that feeling of when you're like, let me just check this one Twitter one more time before I go to bed. Ooh, what's this? What's happening?
I wasn't that fortunate. I was at work and I was in a meeting for most of the morning, and I come out of the meeting at like 12:30 in the afternoon, and I go on Twitter and it's just a bunch of jokes about some festival and rich kids suffering, and I was like, what is this joyous shit on my time?
Oh my goodness, it was so great.
And by the time, like, it was like I was like, I'm not working for the rest of the day, like, don't even talk to me about anything. I will be tweeting and following Twitter for the rest of the
day. Yeah, I caught it just before I went to sleep, and it already was, and I think it had only been like the reports were had just started to come in maybe for like 30 or 45 minutes. People were like, yo, something's going down over there in the Bahamas. And it was already so lit, the stories, that I had to rack my brain to remember my Reddit password so that I could go on Reddit and read what they were saying about it.
Yeah, that's where some of the scoops are coming.
Yeah.
Because I think the one that really, like, where I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever read, was when, because you have people stranded on a beach thinking they're going to, like, a paradise music festival. And one thing I saw popped up on Reddit that somebody sent me where it said... from somebody who I assume was there, was just like, hey, does anybody like see those like feral dogs? Like, just like, it was like, they're just kind of hanging out over, like, are they wolves or like, should we be worried or what? I'm like, oh, they need like one guy whose like job is just to like track the dogs.
Shoo off dogs.
What? Okay. So a lot of the jokes, that I saw early on were because, one of the headliners, the esteemed rock band Blink 182, had canceled very last minute. And these people had paid starting, $1,200 probably?
There.
Starting at tens of thousands of dollars. And Blink 182, in the year of our Lord, 2017, was a headliner. What? A headliner, who is out there right now, Kanye excluded, of course, that you would pay, say, $4,500 to see, that you gotta go through customs?
Prince? Dead.
A lot.
What? We're talking in the now.
No, that's a dead prince.
You would pay that to see a dead prince?
There's not even a concert. It's just a
Prince
tombstone.
Prince is resurrected on this island.
You know, it don't even got to be a hologram. It is just you fly me out, and then we just sit around his tombstone and remember the good old days. There's no other way. There's no Michael Jackson. You got to put both of their bodies together in the same cemetery.
I mean, if it's happening at the island where all of the people who are, quote, dead, end quote, live. So that would be like Prince, Michael, Tupac.
You know what I'm saying?
Biggie,
yeah.
Kurt Cobain.
You fly out to the island and you just have like this ghost party. Yeah, $4,500. Anybody else?
What a Scooby-Doo episode that is.
Bring your masks and your 70s clothes, guys. We're about to get it in. Other than that, nobody.
I mean, see, I know people spend a lot of money on festivals already. Like you go to Coachella or Bonnaroo or any of these other like destination festivals. You're already spending a lot of money anyways.
I know. And there's a history of these kinds of festivals. In England, they have these festivals all the time. And in Europe in general, they have these types of festivals all the time. But they've been happening for years, and they didn't start out with fancy tents. I mean, like Coachella, like this fire festival was supposed to happen 2 weekends in a row, which is what Coachella does now. I'm old enough to remember when Coachella started, and it was only on like a Saturday and a Sunday or something like that. Like, oh, it wasn't the whole weekend, and then it wasn't 2 weekends. That's only been happening. The 2 weekend thing's only been happening.
They
like,
started too big. They started.
Yeah, they started way too big.
You came in hot. Like, they don't. There was no one to tell them no.
Also, we're forgetting to mention that this whole shindig was put together by Ja Rule.
Who?
So
the illustrious.
Yeah, the illustrious.
This, so this is the one time where that Dave Chappelle joke actually
goes. So
people are like, yo, where's Ja? Like, I need my money back, man.
This is a tour headline by people he had in his phone. Like, who can I call?
I mean, you got like, I think Blink 182 and Migos were like the main people. But the thing is,
No. There was also Major Lazer.
And oh yeah, that, it was not electronic people.
I mean,
yeah.
Major Lazer. That's a good look.
No, and K Tronada. I mean, that's like they had some people.
I mean, K Tronada is big, but not Major Lazer's big.
Yeah, but they were on the top. But they were in the big print part of the poster.
There were numerous TBDs.
Oh yeah, there were a lot to be announced.
There are a lot of TBDs, and nobody at that point.
I love the TBDs because the TBDs was like, nah, we'll wait. And then now,
well, nobody got paid.
But that's what I'm saying. But like now, not only did you not agree to the festival, now your name's not on it as this. Oh, you were supposed to go to that bullshit festival. Now there's somebody in the background like, oh yeah, I wasn't.
No, they probably put their name on the poster anyway. Like they had nothing prepared. And I don't feel bad for the people who paid.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're paying that kind of money and they're that kind of rich, then that's like regular ticket price.
I don't think it was rich people though, because as we all know, rich people don't want to pay for shit. So they would have tried to get a hookup. I think it was people who emptied out savings accounts. That's what I think. I think it was people who maybe took out a loan because they were like, I'm going to do it up. The next time I have a party this big,
I feel bad.
Is, do you? I don't. Like I don't, because you're stupid.
I thought it was the other way. I felt bad for the people who were just like, yeah, I'm going to stunt on Instagram with a bunch of IG models.
Yeah,
I'm about
but
to have the
you
fake
only turn
on
30
face.
Once. I'm going to turn 30 at this Ja Rule Festival.
Which already is an issue.
Where somebody should have stopped you. Somebody like, should have.
Ja Rule's Festival? Where you want to go?
I'm going to turn 30 in a tent with these Instagram models. Oh, yeah, where? At this festival in Bahamas. What's it called? Fire Festival? Who put that on? Ja Rule.
Also, it's at an island that was owned by Pablo Escobar. Really? Well, actually, it was part of a sandals resort. It wasn't owned by... It wasn't a private... But there were dogs. They got a petting zoo. Oh, nope. Those are just wild dogs.
A bunch of narcos enthusiasts.
One,
like,
one time Pablo had came for a minute. Like, one time...
With Ja Rule?
Yeah.
When he was on a run, he stopped here for a weekend.
And Memphis Bleek. And...
That was Noriega, the rapper.
They couldn't even get a shot. They got Lil Mo. Like, come on, what are we doing? Like, we can't. This is
that's
oh.
so funny. And Lil Mo got a radio show, and she probably was kind of like, I got to be back.
I can't really make it.
Yeah, I go on air at 4, so I got to be back. Yeah. If you could, have me back.
If you can hurry up.
I mean, news is gonna keep rolling in, and we'll figure out exactly. The thing is, what's weird is they're planning a 2018 fire festival anyway.
But they're doing it stateside. They're gonna do it stateside because it's, you know, you got when you start ambitious and then you go.
Where are they gonna? Who?
They're gonna go to somebody's beach, probably Miami.
Well, no, that's where they were flying off of anyway.
So they're probably gonna do it either in Miami or like one of. I mean, beaches.
Who wants to? The other people outside of Ja Rule who's getting the most heat, as he should. They were startup folk. Who knows if their company's even going to be around
why,
for this?
Why is that fun to people to just, you know,
start a festival?
Glamping.
Oh, glamping?
Why is that fun?
Because it's camping, but you also get to curl your hair. I don't know why it's fun. Do you like the camp?
No, but I'm just saying.
Okay, like, well
the,
then,
like the whole idea of, you know, it's like we're fake camping, and then we're gonna take all of these pictures and lay around. What is that? Why is that fun?
I mean, that's different than like Bonnaroo or something. Bonnaroo is like real camping.
But they're that's Trife Life. That's like, yo.
I'm sorry, that's what now?
Trife Life?
Did you just make that up, yeah, or is that like a magazine?
No, Trife Life is real.
What is Trife Life,
that's
Courtney?
Trifling lifestyle, trifling life.
You and you just life. Shorten it?
Okay. That's Trife Life. Like,
Trife Life sounds way cooler than Trifler Life.
Yeah, right.
That's why people want to live the Trife Life.
You live that Trife Life. See, y'all ain't been.
I don't think they're trifling it.
Y'all ain't been trifling long enough for somebody to tell you.
No,
that you've
we've been
trifling.
Trifling long enough that trifling means something. It wasn't. Mm. It wasn't fun enough to want to shorten and talk other people into it. I don't want to wish Trife Life on anybody.
Somebody says Chris is trifling. There goes my day.
Yeah, I'm not trying to rebrand trifling. I'm trying to change my life.
I've been Trife Life. That's Trife Life.
That
like
sounds like a
you've peed in a bottle
Everest Institute.
nightmare.
No, you peed in a bottle numerous times in the same day. Like, you're just like, I only go to the bathroom in bottles now. That's Bonnaroo.
I feel like that's still, well, I don't know. The rich people go to Bonnaroo. The thing is,
everybody,
yeah, but all of them, but all RV of them style. Now have like VIP tents.
That's what
like
I'm
that
they,
all
they
gradually
do that,
happen.
But the, but so the basic, masses aren't that. Though.
Yeah, I feel like. What Firefest was all of the, it was supposed to be all of the VIP shit from the other festivals. It's like the whole festival is VIP until you got the food and it was just cheese sandwiches and dry salads.
What you do is you get all your buses and RVs and you put them together and you make it like a little,
like a wagon,
like a, no, not like, like in a box, like a little rich people fort. And then you like barbecue and you hang out. They show pictures of people like even
like a like when they were
like a wagon. You do that.
Okay, well, sure. That all sounds crazy to me.
And then you like hop on, hop off RV with everybody.
That sounds nuts. Bread. Can't you just wait it out? They're gonna be at your city.
Mm, I know.
They're gonna be there.
I know.
Then you can bowl on a budget. Nobody wants to bowl on a budget anymore.
This is how I know. I mean, I couldn't do it because Erykah Badu came here, mm-hmm. Like my first years living in New York, and she played like this Brooklyn theater, and I love Erykah Badu, one of my favorite artists. I see her every chance I get, and I came in, and them tickets were like $60-something, and I'm just like, maybe she ain't got a new album. So we paying $67 to hear the same songs?
Oh, that's a steal in today's economy.
At the time I was just like,
look up Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole tickets right now.
Ooh, do you remember the first the Yeezy tour where Kendrick Lamar opened right after the Control verse? And it was alternating. It was Kendrick Lamar or A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah, that was a tour before the floating stage one, right?
Yep, that was because that was that played that was God Rock, that was Jesus Rock, where the Jesus Rock opened, where like Jesus at the top, our guys at the top. And
oh yeah, okay, so
oh,
it was
the
Jesus
tour.
That's what I said. I said Yeezy.
You said Jesus.
No, I said, but I
don't know.
The Yeezus
you know
tour.
What it was? We weren't paying attention to you. You're that's right. What it was.
If Rob was here,
he'd understand. But you know, we're not really paying attention. Yes, the Yeezus tour. Yeah,
Kendrick
yeah.
Lamar came out, and no one was in the stadium. This was at Barclays, right up the street. No one was there. And he was like, cut the lights up. Let's get hype in here.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Never asked to cut the lights up. Yeah. Rookie mistake.
Lights came up, and it was just like, good. He did the Good Kid, Mad City, and it was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And everyone was like, mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
We don't know you yet.
He was like, damn.
But he had a top album at the time. It was just I just felt so bad because I was getting hype, and everybody else was like, we not there yet.
Well,
I'm still trying
know.
To get the Scavassier in the line long, so.
Right, yeah. Everyone, that's when everyone gets their stuff.
I'm
their
not
drinks
paying,
and
I'm
whatnot.
Not paying, I'm not paying for it.
So wait, was it like Kendrick would go on and then Tribe and then
next
night? Oh, it was either or?
Madison Square Garden.
Uh-huh.
The next night was Tribe. And Tribe brought out everybody.
Well, yeah, they always do.
Yeah, and then it was just like, or you could see Kendrick.
that's a shame.
They did them foul in Brooklyn. They did them real foul in Brooklyn. And maybe the floor sounded different, but where I was sitting, I was like, ooh. Nope.
He came back, though.
No, he bounced back real
hard. Those are $450 tickets now, if you want to go see.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're not even on the floor. No, he's not. Who is $450 good?
Nope.
Nobody.
I just said I wouldn't pay $60 to see my
favorite. That's why I was like, oh, $60 yeah, plus fees. I'll go see that.
No, yeah.
And I love her. Like, I've paid it before. I'm just not going to keep paying it for the same songs. This was before the mixtape.
Oh, yeah. No, no.
Yeah, I couldn't even. She couldn't even make me put my phone down yet.
All right. We have to pivot into some Kanye news. There's not a lot recently because he's been out of the public eye for the most part. But
what's he doing? You think he had a mental breakdown?
He had a mental breakdown.
We're in a recovery stage.
You think he's coming back from a mental breakdown?
He's working. He's at the office.
He had a mental breakdown.
Okay. What?
Did you watch the episode I sent you?
Yeah. No.
Wait, episode of what?
Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
I ain't watching no Kardashian shit.
No?
No, I mean, bless their hearts, but I can't.
That's why, like, Kim always got him, like, laying around sleeping somewhere in public. My man exhausted.
Okay, all right.
I was thinking, you ever watch Run's House?
Yeah, I love Run's House.
What was his wife's name? Josephine? Was that it?
Oh, my God. No, because the kid was JoJo. Maybe she was JoJo.
She was always laying.
She was
Jocelyn, maybe?
Josephine, yeah.
She was always laying around. I feel like.
But she was legit sick, though.
Was she?
Yeah, she was legit
sick. I didn't know that. Yeah. I just thought she was always just lazy? Like, Rusty. I was like, oh, man, could she get up for a second?
Yo, that's trifling.
That's trifling. All those kids, if she wanted to lay around for the rest of time, she could do so. She
would just like roll over, like, Rusty. I was like, all right, I'm done. Now I feel terrible. I feel like I backed myself into this.
Oh, man, Monique's going to have a field day with that.
Justine.
That's what it was.
She lost that baby.
That's what it was. All right,
let's steer away from this.
Okay.
So nobody watched the episode.
So what happened on the episode?
I didn't watch the episode.
Okay, so then. I watched clips.
I watched clips. This is what I count on Rob for. This is
for the true.
He
fandom.
Keeps up with the Kardashians.
Good for him.
I keep up with Rob. Keeping up with the Kardashians.
The problem is like it's entertaining because you know what's his face is not going to let it not be entertaining. Seacrest.
Oh, yeah.
He is the executive producer.
Oh, okay. He's not.
He brings all of that. Yeah, Ryan Seacrest is not going to let it not be entertaining. Like that script's going to be fucking fire.
Sure, whatever. But
I just can't get around the way they talk to each other.
I don't have cable, so that's why.
Bad and Bougie and Rich and Whiny.
That's what you think?
They rich and whiny as fuck. Like it's all because you know you got to set like the arc. It always has to be like something happens like the beginning of the show. Everything's good, then there's this arc of oh no, there's drama,
right?
And then like you know. Instead of it being sitcom style where problems are solved around a table, it's just like problems are solved and everything's good, or there's a TBD, like a to be continued.
Right.
But like the problems are always just like, I don't want that cake. I want a different. Where are we supposed to get the cake from?
These are different wines, though. This actually was a to be continued thing.
It
ended. All right. So it was at the point where.
Okay. So this was about the Paris.
This is post Paris. We've covered Paris before, but this is after Paris. So things are already strenuous for Kim.
Okay.
This is when Kanye starts having like his on stage after she's back breakdowns.
Right.
Going at like Trump and Jay-Z and all that.
Sure.
And just walking off stage. So she got a phone call from a friend of his saying that Kanye's in the hospital, But they don't really give you what is being said over the line. They just give you her reaction, which is crying and just and having like, I got to go.
Sure. This is, okay.
And it was real brief. It was weird because I was talking to Rob about it and he was like, they acknowledge the breakdown, but they kind of scrub out the details of the breakdown.
Yeah.
Like around the whole thing, everybody was like, oh shit. Like, Kanye is a Trump dude and Kanye is beefing with Jay-Z. None of that is really, from what I gathered, part of it. It's just, it becomes a whole like family knit kind of thing now.
Well, yeah, that's because it's keeping up with the Kardashians. It's not keeping up with Kanye. I know Kanye loves his girl, but I know my heart tells me that he really doesn't want to be out there like that in that in the Kardashian setting where he can't control. So it's going to be a limited amount. So they're not going to go in deep. It's going to be about Kim's reaction.
And the, because the people that's around what, him doesn't want that either.
Yeah, yeah. He doesn't want... I mean, you know, Chris is fine, but that's not... That's
how many
she ain't Donda. You know what I mean? So yeah. He's not going to let her call his shots as much as she'd love to. So, you know, you give a... You give an inch, but then you're like, that's about it. So cover how she's feeling about it. And then also, to be fair, like, there are probably a good number of people who are into the Kardashians who don't like Kanye at all.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
A lot.
Of course.
So they probably care.
That's both fan groups.
Yeah. So they probably care more about how Kim dealt with that than what was wrong with Kanye.
She's so brave.
I can't. You're so mean. She's so Why brave. Are you so mean?
She because you can't. you gotta realize when shit's good. Like you gotta realize when shit's real good for you, and you gotta start acting like shit's good. Cause I don't want to be in real life where shit's not always good, and then watch you complain about your shit not being good. And it's really your surprise party didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen.
Okay, so I'm just hearing hate right now.
Yeah, Courtney has like
okay, all right.
No, this is pure
previous beef.
This is
pure unfiltered. Just like, I mean, can we just talk about Kanye? Because I don't like the Kardashians.
No, okay, yeah.
Business
yeah.
people though, business mind. Oh man, Chris is a goddamn genius.
She's a genius.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're good at it. They're all good at that.
She's a manipulative genius.
Oh my good. Okay. We gotta go.
I mean, it goes back to when you watch the O.J. Simpson story, and then it was just like her sleeping with O.J. and her husband, and then whoever. Like she's playing. Oh man, she is a.
Oh yeah, no, she good. She good.
So you just want to keep up with Chris?
I mean, yeah. If Chris had her own show.
No, that'd be boring too.
No, Chris had her own show. She's real whiny too. She cries way more than she should. But that's how you get what you want.
Oh no!
Right. When you live that kind, okay. Am I saying too much?
You're good. Mean.
You guys are both sneakerheads, right?
Yeah,
I dabble.
You dabble.
Love them.
Yeah.
New Yeezys came out this week.
I was in Chicago when it happened. I felt real good about it.
Did
you felt real good? Why?
Oh, that's why the people were lined up. Okay, I. Well,
what day
no.
was it?
I can't. What it was day?
The
Thursday.
It was the 26th.
Thursday.
Thursday.
They should have been lining up Thursday.
Okay. Yeah.
Thursday
think so.
At 3 o'clock.
All right.
3 p.m. releases. He don't give no fucks about how you go to school. None. Adidas. Adidas is just like, yeah, you're not gonna be in school Thursday.
Okay. All right. That explains it. That yeah.
Yeah.
Because I never know, and I meant to text you like, why are the kids on the street?
No, this is where I'm in because I registered, and I was just like, oh shit, if I win some Yeezys in Chicago, this gonna be crazy. And I registered, and it was just like, come back at 3 for the raffle and you could win these Yeezys, $250. I was like, I'll invest that and then flip them all my Yeezys, let's get it. And then 3:15, I was just like, I was supposed to be doing something. I don't even remember what the fuck I was. And then I opened the app and I was like, oh they gone.
No,
I do the over the course of this doing this podcast, I've gotten way more into sneakers than I was before. Specifically, I actually like Yeezys. Like the first time I actually like held some, I was like, yo, they're dope shoes.
Yeah.
So I've tried to get some each time they come out with a new release. I use the confirmation app, the Adidas app. That's it's impossible.
It is, yeah.
It's the game is rigged. I don't know who's getting these shoes. I did hear that a truckload of sneakers got stolen, and I was like, Robin Hood for the win. Go for that shit.
A whole truckload?
Truckload of Yeezys.
Think about it like this. If a resale is starting $450, $500, you steal a truck, you've made it. This is like Goodfellas cigarette truck level heist.
Oh yeah, yeah. No.
We're talking like the first Fast and the Furious movie.
Yeah, you've made it to a point
this
where
this is the equivalent of like VCRs in 1999.
Someone said big score
89
when they talked about this.
Not 99.
All right, maybe I should have said DVD players.
Maybe 99.
I forget the plot. We're up to 8, okay? It's been a long time.
There was a dry erase board and some schematics drawn up. This was the big hit.
Oh, man. Well,
like,
you're going
to ride your bike under the car. It's like, do I really have to do that?
No, yeah, no. Yeah.
I cannot wait to watch the movie starring Jason Statham about this when it's made. Because it will be made.
Martin Scorsese is going to produce it.
No.
If you haven't seen Fast 8, Jason Statham has one of the best scenes you will ever see.
He's a beast.
In an action movie ever.
Does he have a shirt on?
He has a shirt on, but he is equipped with a gun and a baby.
Which Jason Statham do we get? We get Jason Statham or lean Jason Statham? This matters to me.
When you say lean, do you lean still like, mean destructive?
Lean like transporter.
Oh, he's more transporter, but he's very formidable. Like he's lean and he's not The Rock. The Rock and him go head to head. Like they butt heads all the time in this movie. But you look at both of them like they could both beat each other.
Okay, so it's big Jason Statham.
But he doesn't play big.
Oh no, he does that well.
Yeah,
I'm a fan ever since like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking.
I never met like a big Jason Statham fan before. I don't know how to handle this exactly.
What his action movie? He's not of that life, which is even crazier. Like imagine if you were a soccer player and somebody was just like, you should just be an action star, and he's like, yeah. And then like Brian Bosworth and all those other people who play professional, like no one is lining up to see Shaq fight The Rock. And they were professional athletes. Like this dude came out of nowhere. He was a scrawny dude in a suit and like a Guy Ritchie movie. And now like he's jacked and fight. He's a cool dude.
Snatches the business.
Fast 8 is a beautiful mess of a movie.
All right, I haven't seen any of them. I can't buy into it. I'm sure it's fine though, right?
Better than fine.
All right.
Ten movies. At first I was like they could be done. And then I saw it and I was like two more. Give me two more.
Oh God.
All the billions of dollars.
Oh, God.
Okay, what other Kanye news do we have?
Let's see. All right, so there were reports this week, I guess from one of the people who worked on Watch the Throne, that originally...
Oh, yeah, David Cho said it, yes. Too. He did the It's the Real podcast. Shout out Jeff and Eric. I'm a big fan. And I am. I'm a huge fan of It's the Real. Whew. And David Cho, who started like Grantland and The All Online, and he was the one, right? Who was he was talking about how originally when naming the songs on Watch the Throne, that Jay-Z originally wanted to call Niggas in Paris. He wanted to call it Ball So Hard.
Yeah.
And Kanye was like, no, we gotta have niggas in there. And then Kanye was like, actually.
We should put niggas
in every title. Song. In every one.
And Jay-Z was like, nah.
His reasoning was so cliche.
I just want everybody to say it. That was it, right?
Yeah, and then people started having the Niggas in Paris parties. Like, they had that blackface party. And it was...
I didn't hear about that. Oh, that was at the time of the song.
Yeah.
People were having...
They were dressed like rappers and
black, you know, yeah, and it was their like, niggas in Paris.
Like, over-the-top rappers, too.
I don't know if Kanye sometimes really thinks these things out.
That's what he wanted, though, because then it would have been like, you can't have a song with the title Niggas and then have, like, soulful singing in it. Like,
I used to have a joke about that song because I had done a show in Chattanooga, and I was the only black person on the show. Mm-hmm. And so one of the other comics who was a Chattanooga local was this guy who he came up to me and he was like, hey, I have this joke where I say, and I'm like, oh, come on, man.
Oh,
here
shit.
We go. And he said, can I have this joke where I say the N-word in it. Like, is it okay if I...
The fact that you had to ask
say
me?
It. No. And yeah. I'm like, well, what were you going to do if I wasn't here? Like, what were you going to do? Just follow your heart?
You.
Like, how were you going to, what were you going to do? I'm like, I mean, do what you want, kid. Just because I'm here, please don't let that stop you.
Even
if you felt that free, keep feeling free with an actual N-word in the audience. Let's see how free you feel.
Mm.
So he said it, and it was about, at the time, what had just happened was, Gwyneth Paltrow was at one of their Paris shows, and this was at the time when they were doing Niggas in Paris like over and over and over at their shows. And I think they had, how many times did they do at their Paris show? Like 11 times? It was like 11 or 12 times in a row, something like that. And so she had tweeted out, Niggas in Paris indeed is what she tweeted. And she didn't use an asterisk. She didn't say N-word.
I do remember that.
She wrote the whole thing, and everyone was like, "Oh, Gwyneth, pardon me." And she was like,
"Let me say it."
Yeah, she literally tweeted out, "But that's the name of the song."
Nah, you ain't Tony Stark.
And that was his joke.
His joke was completely, my joke was about how this dude asked me or whatever. He, in his setup, he had it all wrong. He was like, it was Kanye and Diddy at some party in London. The only thing he got right was the title Niggas in Paris.
So he just heard about the song.
Yeah.
He didn't even know why.
He was just like, I know there's something out there called Niggas and I get to say it because it's in the air. And I was like, come on, you didn't even do it right.
His punchline was Niggas indeed, but like hit means something completely different.
He was just...
Niggas indeed.
Yeah. he was just so happy to say it. And then I was just going to come through and wreck it for him. And I was like, no, please say it.
I got to see a couple of black faces before I even say it on stage. I'm not even going to say it. I'm like, I'm not going to give you guys. I think, if I'm the only one, I'm not giving you guys license to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I don't really like doing it in front of like mostly like white crowds because it just, if the laugh feels different when I get it. And because of like comedy is like, you do play like a lot of white crowds where a lot of times it, even traces of it, I feel like earlier on I used to use it way more than I do now, which is almost like nil.
Right.
That it just kind of, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to give anybody, I'm just like, I've created my own voice where really, you know, I don't lean on it for anything, even if that is just not a part of the dialect.
I use it and on stage because I use it in real life, but I try to like sparingly.
Because
I work, because a lot of times I'm asked to work clean, so I'm not going to use it anyway. And it's never the punchline, but it's just the way I'm talking. It's just like me talking freely. Like one time I did this show in Old Town Alexandria, Virginia, and it was at this old hotel on a floor that had like this ballroom, and I went to the bathroom and it was above the ballroom in like the secluded bathroom, and legit scared. Like I was legit like, you know how like you, when you're young, you like you run to the bathroom and you run out? Like I was a grown man, like I'm gonna go ahead and sprint to this toilet real quick and then sprint back to the show. And I got on stage and I was just like, yo, this hotel is haunted. Like this hotel, I was like, this hotel is haunted. And I was like, it's from a time when it wasn't okay for me to be telling jokes. And I was just like, you know, I went to the bathroom and it was just like, boo, nigga, what are you doing here? And just talking shit. And then after the show, I had a whole 20-minute set. And then after the show, this guy and this woman came up to me. And the guy was just like, you were great. We love you. And then the woman shook my hand and she said, boo, nigga. And I was just like, I want to choke your wife. And then the whole time I had to sit with it because I was like, I gave her license to say that. She is just repeating me. So I was just like, from then on, it was years before I said nigga on stage again. I just recently, probably like in the last 4 years, started saying nigga on stage again.
Oh, I had a joke where I said I couldn't say nigga until I slept with a black dude. And it took me a second black dude before I could drop the hard R. So, I mean,
I did a little game with myself where I just said, well, what if Kanye got his wish?
Oh, and named all of
and
the...
Had,
ooh, please
had,
tell us the
okay,
song
so what do we got? What do we got then?
So, track one.
Mm-hmm.
How I would do it.
Tell, what's the original name of the track?
No Church in the Wild.
Oh, sure. Okay. So where would you go with it?
The only place I could go was No Church in the Wild for Niggas.
Oh, okay. All right.
Featuring Beyonce.
He wanted it somewhere in the title?
He wanted the word in every.
Oh, that's okay. Frank Ocean. I don't know why I skipped said Beyonce. track two is featuring Beyonce, which is Liftoff.
Wait, you still thinking about No Church in the Wild, though, aren't you, Courtney?
No Church in the Wild. Yeah, No Church in the Wild, Niggas.
Four. Oh, see, I would have just gone No Niggas in the Wild. It's still just a short, and it gets the. I mean, all right. Yeah, but anywho, I mean, either way,
church is wild, niggas.
Wild church, niggas.
Church niggas, wild church niggas, wild as hell.
Oh my god! Nobody, I'm sure they've cut off the podcast by this point, right? There's no way.
We'll move this to the front.
Yeah. There's no way someone's gonna listen to this. All right, we want to do as many.
Track two is Liftoff, which is just.
That's easy, yeah.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Liftoff, niggas.
Niggas lift off.
There's a comma. You add a comma.
Oh, okay.
Niggas lift off.
All mm-hmm. right, sure, sure. Mm-hmm.
Track three is already set.
Right. but plenty. They got plenty. They don't need an extra. Right.
We go to track five, which is Gotta Have It. Which is easy.
I mean, yeah, they walk. We gotta. Niggas gotta.
Niggas
have
gotta
it.
Have.
Oh, niggas gotta have.
We
it,
consume.
Sure. Mm-hmm. We consume.
We consume.
Truck six is New Day. Which is.
I mean, that can either be new niggas, new day for niggas.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got, really. Nigra, actually, which I prefer.
That's what my mom calls Nigra. Me when she's mad.
What, Nigra?
The E turns into an I. It's Negro. Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, mm-hmm. Negro or no, Negro?
Negro.
Negro is all good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's
all
the
right.
Old, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like Negro. Okay, yeah, because I was just telling someone about it how I prefer, not that I really want to be called. Anyway, I like Negro because it has like just this old, just Negro.
New Day Negro sounds so uplifting.
A new day Negra?
New Day Negra sounds like Sidney Poitier.
I feel like that's going to be a T-shirt. Like,
come
by the time we get to the sidewalk.
New Day Negra?
Yeah, no,
you don't say that as aggressively, but it sounds
new
like
New Day Negra.
It sounds
go on
like,
and hashtag that.
It sounds like
new
a '70s movie, like a great '70s movie where it ends kind of just like. I mean, it's kind of a win for black people. It's that's how all those movies ended. It's like, it's kind of a win. It's as much as we can get.
All right. We'll do seven and
okay.
eight. Seven is That's My Bitch.
I mean,
I think we could just leave that alone.
We could leave that alone.
Or That's My Bitch, nigga, where you're like, what? Wait.
Where you're coming to terms with having a weak person in your crew. Where you're like, I mean, I know he's a bitch nigga, but he's my bitch nigga.
That sounds like the answer to whose man is this?
Yeah, that's
my
bitch
nigga.
Whose man is this? Yeah.
You gotta say, like, that's my bitch.
That's my bitch nigga.
Like, scuffle up against some shit.
Hi, Bird.
Come get
that's
your bitch.
My bitch nigga, Bird.
Snuffy, come get your bitch.
Eight, Welcome to the Jungle. Which is,
oh no, I feel like it's implied. It may be implied.
Wait, you
number
can't say
12
jungle and nigga the same.
Track 12.
Mm-hmm.
Why I Love You.
Well, I mean,
because at the beginning it is very specific, and then at the end it's just like the Kardashians speaking to black people.
Wait, what? So where'd you go with it? Where'd
like,
you
think,
go?
Think about like,
I know this
like,
come back.
That's why I love you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nigga, that's why I love you. Like,
okay.
It's just like, come on, nigga, that's why I love you.
Uh-huh.
And oh, then God. It's just like, you start counting your money like,
you my bitch nigga, that's why I love you.
That's why I love these niggas.
I didn't know it's going to start playing.
That's why I love you niggas.
Okay, so you made the niggas plural.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take the comma from earlier and put it at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just talking in general,
mm-hmm.
like if you're looking at a work floor of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Okay. All right.
Oh, man. Who hires a whole work floor of niggas?
I mean, at some point,
you got like two.
Every place will.
Mm-hmm. You got like two niggas in an office. You got
that. Well, you got the office manager.
Oh, fuck.
Jesus.
Tell and me then, I'm wrong.
Right.
And tell then, me as an office manager that I'm wrong.
And then the one person that the office manager is allowed to direct, because it's just like, we cannot talk to this person. So if you could, go tell him we're scared.
So where would you prefer it in the front?
Yeah. In the front sounds more affectionate. In the front just sounds like we just, it could be.
So you're going for the more uplifting thing.
It could be either with your boy or your significant other, but it's just like, nigga, that's why I love you.
Let's get into the song.
Let's do that.
This is the first song on the podcast I got to pick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just realized we've done 30-something episodes.
And Rob has picked each one?
No, we let the guests pick.
Oh, okay.
Oh, are you an office manager now?
We've I'm in the position of power.
Okay.
It is quite addicting.
Mm-hmm. He's drunk with power.
Why'd you pick this particular song?
Because it is the lineup on it.
The lineup is crazy. Rob hates that I picked this song and he's not here for it.
Really? Because he has a lot to say?
You know, of course, like, Rob's not just a Kanye stan, he's also, like, a huge Pharrell fan.
I do know that.
And...
I thought you picked it because you knew my feelings on Pharrell. So you're like, let's...
I mean, I know that. See, I know that, too.
And because I've already been on here weeping about Kanye.
Exactly. But it combines, like, all these things that just kind of worked. You had, like, of course, Kanye... who's essential to everything.
Right.
The Pharrell element. At the time, Lupe Fiasco was...
He was something. He was something.
For me, like, he was one of my top dudes. So, and they had already, like, you knew about Child Rebel Soldier.
That's
and
right.
That was the group that just, like, I always checked for, like, where's the progress at? And there was never any
never
fucking...
Gonna
nothing.
Never, never ever going to be a thing.
Not going to happen.
And, like, Sing Sounds was great, and this came like right afterwards, and it was perfect. It was the perfect remix for me, and this is like it was one of my favorite songs that I kind of forgot for a second. It was one of my favorite songs and collabs.
It's one of those songs where the remix and the original version go just as hard. Like, I love
different ways though, but that's the thing that's great about it.
Yeah, and I just watching the visuals today, I just realized what the song was about. Not even
No, you didn't. Courtney, come on. That is
because Pusha T is also in the remix.
And but you know what? Even if you don't, even if there wasn't Pusha T, I mean, like,
oh, it's
these lyrics on this remix.
I've always,
like, even if you didn't, like, if you only knew the original and you watched the video for the original, and it's called Everybody Knows,
yeah,
as in mm-hmm. on your face.
Mm-hmm.
You must have seen enough 80s movies to know that they must be talking about cocaine.
When I say it was at the time I was consuming music fast, so it was just like, unless it was something I was really checking for, I was in and out, and I was just like, this sounds good, and I would play it out loud at barbecues and at functions, and that was it. And I was just like, today, sitting in the back of a Lyft, I was just like, these niggas
talk about
cocaine.
Yes, absolutely.
What if I was just like, I didn't get it until Pusha T got on and it was like, you can't have Coke Talk without me. I'm like,
also, do we have confirmation that Pusha T wrote Pharrell's verse?
I don't have confirmation.
That was the rumor I had always heard, because Pharrell's verse goes hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
But he got a couple of those where you're like, where do you get
there
that?
Are a few of them, but I mean, like, even his delivery, mm-hmm. his delivery on this song is a little harder, and I don't know if he's trying to match, because I mean, like, everyone else is almost Luda playful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's that level of playfulness, and I mean, like, it's just puns.
Like, Lupe and Kanye.
He said hi the whole time.
Kanye's both kind of start off with their own little gimmick joke they're playing.
Right, for the whole thing. And then,
like, Kanye had just gotten done. I feel like he just watched Goldmember. He was like, do you have any black inside you?
You want some?
I just want to know, like, who actually, like, fell for it. He was like, do you have, like, oh, he's like, would you like something? He's like, got me, Kanye.
God damn, Kanye got me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, like, it's almost cartoonish.
Right.
So the lyrics are kind of cartoonish, but that beat is very driving.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes real hard. And the first three verses are, like, the same kind of playfulness. So then when Pusha T comes in, he almost seems out of place.
Oh, he kills it at the end.
He kills it, yeah. But he almost seems, you know what I mean? Like, because, I mean, like, he was listening to the same song, but he took it in a different way, and the rest of them were just like, and even with what he, if he wrote that verse for Pharrell, even Pharrell is never going to deliver anything the way.
He delivered that.
Yeah. So even anything that Pharrell delivers is still going to have, like, an air of playfulness to it, because he just doesn't have the bass in his voice to be like, yeah, you've been, you know, like, but then again, if you're talking about the business side of Coke, you go to Pusha T. But if you're talking about the customer side of it, you're going to go to Pharrell, because I have a feeling Pusha T was out in the parking lot of the club that Pharrell was in while four girls are in a stall up the line. I'm really trying to stay cool about that, but I've been in line a long time. Like, I see 8 shoes in there. Like, what are y'all doing?
Doing blow out the back of the toilet.
Just do a bump in front of the mirror and keep it going. Like, why? You don't all got to be in there. We know what you're doing.
Pusha T came in like, I'm the one selling it.
Yeah, exactly. And this is all because of me.
Like, where everybody else kind of like skirts around it, he's like, I got a crime made of powder.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, everybody, like, that's the thing. Everybody else is real cartoonish, and you know.
And he's like, no. What if that? What if that whole serious thing, enterprise?
What was that? Diet Coke. She's on that Coke diet. I'm so witty, and he's like, yeah, nigga, I got it.
What if that was like a Pusha T commercial? Like, it was just like, no. By the way, I got the Coke. Like, if you see me with Pharrell, I got the Coke though. So.
Oh my god! I mean, like, it's. But yeah, it's a great like. It's a great remix, and it's a little bit scarier than the original. Mm-hmm. The air of it, the feel of it is a little bit scarier because it's driving, and it doesn't do one of those
It's aggressive throughout.
It's aggressive throughout.
There's no bridge.
It is just
learned what that was.
Yeah, yeah. You know how I feel. I listeners, I feel very strongly about the Pharrell bridge. I think it's very powerful.
The Neptune's bridge.
Yeah, because the Pharrell bridges are a little bit weak, I think, but I won't get into why I feel that way. But
it's Chad.
It needs Chad, but that's almost say. if you want to combat me, come at me. But yeah, like the original had a really great intro? Bridge, actually.
Yeah.
And it's also
it's beautiful
talking to the girls.
Yeah. JP, you partied all night in 6 gear. Just so you know, the AC is blowing over here. Don't worry, I won't blow your. All wrong. Just know if you go outside and see the sun rise, all the stars are gone. In like a caring way,
which of course you know he doesn't care. He's really just trying to get him in the car and get him home. But there's more of like a game. There's more of like a caring thing about it. Like, girl, you come on now. You gotta fix your face. Here's the AC. Look here, just wipe off a little. And this one is just like, rah, 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 like chasing her around the club.
I know you do it, Cobra.
It's like, oh, my God. It's terrifying. So it's a little, I feel like it's like that one when you do, I guess, that one bump beyond. You know what I mean? Like, you were good, and then you did that one bump, and now everybody, they're just like monsters chasing after you, screaming about how they know what you're doing in the bathroom.
I don't think that's how Coke works, though.
I don't know how it works. Oh. How do you think it works?
I thought you'd get more confident. Like the more Pharrell yells, the more you're just like, yeah.
No, well,
I'm in line. I'm holding up this line. You goddamn right I am.
No, well, there may be that, but there's also like, now you're coming off of it and you're kind of stumbly.
I will say nothing because my parents sometimes listen to this podcast. Oh,
yeah, no, I mean, I don't touch the stuff. I've never touched the stuff. I can only go by what I've seen. And I've seen confident, but then I've also seen stumbly.
No, that shit makes me so uncomfortable.
And stumbly is where I think confident, it may be where the first one is getting you just before you get to stumbly. That remix is getting you at stumbly. It's these dudes yelling at you as you're trying to find your friends in your jacket. You see what I mean? That's why it's so aggressive. Also, I feel like it's because all of those dudes, so it's just super aggressive. And they're all trying to top it because they know Pusha T is going to come in with some fire. So they're all trying to like do their best wordplay, which in Lupe's case is just saying hi over and over. And then
I'm sure Kanye was like,
I need to. Yeah, that's the thing. At the time, I was like,
because Lupe is a great lyricist,
and he was still wearing a chain at the time. And you're like, yeah, oh, he doesn't know who he is.
His hair was cut low. He didn't.
Oh yeah, yeah. This was, well, I mean, this is before he got this quote woke.
Diamonds from
yeah. No, this is after that, but this is before he was like, let me go fight Bill O'Reilly and shit,
climb a mountain and plant some herbs. And
what did he did all of these things?
That was for charity.
Yeah.
I didn't pay attention. Jessica
Biel did it too, and so did Jake Gyllenhaal.
They had like a little web series about it. Well, it was before web series, but they had like a little clip, so you go and there's like,
I don't think this is related to the Lupe fiasco that we see now walking around with samurai swords.
Oh, okay. Okay. He can't walk around with samurai swords.
Yeah, I defend him.
I gotta call a man Kung Fu Kenny. And he just wears a gi. That's all. That's the only thing. Fuck that.
First of all, I defend Lupe fiasco. Like, I'm like, yo, man, his dad was like a martial artist. He studied when he was a kid. The difference was, why are you posting like Instagram videos of you in your kitchen though? Like,
doing like, can you not find a mountaintop tutorials to do this at?
Yeah, I was like, can you find a dojo or something? Yeah. Just make it official, dog.
Nah, fuck that. I love the raw idea of him having his samurai, like him being in the kitchen, like, nah, my skills is nice. And then somebody was like, go get your sword, dude. And he's just in the kitchen. He put his beard out. He's just,
oh no.
He's just slicing the air. Like the conversation before that, because nothing, he didn't set up to do that. When you're doing sword manual in your kitchen, that wasn't your original intention. Your original intention was, I'm eat this sandwich and then talk shit with my homeboy. And your homeboy was just like, your sword manual ain't that tight. And he's like, my sword manual tight as shit. And he was like, all right, I'm gonna go get my sword. Be here when I get back.
He had the whole outfit. He had the shoes on with the wood on him. Oh, okay.
Oh, so there was some time in between. Hey, I'm gonna make you the sandwich and I'm gonna go change clothes and I'm gonna shoot.
No, I think he just chills in that outfit.
I mean, I love him
just for the comments, because you have a bunch of people like, man, this fucking ass corny ass. He'd be like, oh, what? He can't just study martial arts in his kitchen? Like,
the internet is so savage.
It's real. And people are ruthless on there.
Whatchamacallit, I watched this David Banner video on The Breakfast Club. And, like, David Banner, he's a bit extra, but he says some real shit.
Right.
Like extra, like he pulled out a journal and Fire Next Time by James Baldwin. And I'm just like, why you pull that out? You couldn't just kept that in your pocket to sit down for this interview? Like, you had to let us know, but whatever. So he's dropping all these jewels about the black community and what people should do and like the internet and entertainment. And then you read through the comments and all the comments are just like, at this mark, this makes sense. And at this, and they're just discussing. And then at one point, there was just this dude, and his whole comment was, run that shit, work girl. And I was just like, that's perfect. That was perfect.
Don't let him forget. Never forget.
I'm trying to get that.
So, Chris, what's your favorite Pharrell Kanye combo?
I haven't thought of this. Fuck. Favorite Pharrell Kanye.
How many are there?
I don't know. I mean, like, I like, number one is good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I don't know. How?
I think one of my favorite, it's not even, I don't even know how he got on it, but that DJ Class, I'm the Ish remix with Kanye.
I haven't thought about I'm the Ish in a very long time.
Just the way that beat is like, Ye is in the building to let everybody know.
No, keep singing exactly in that manner. Yeah.
And it's time, because you forget that there's a house element to
yes, to
Chicago,
which I feel like, if I may just go on record as saying, everybody who doesn't like Kanye Workout Plan can suck my left one. That's a great song. Because of the house element, especially the house breakdown at the end with the soul clap.
Pay homage to your roots.
I mean, like, that's big, very big, especially if you're talking Chicago stuff. And I haven't heard him really. I mean, like, I know he's doing all kinds of stuff, and he shows up on house influence things on artists who are, like, you know, like, he showed up on Kid Sisters. stuff. I mean, you know, the Estelle song had a house feel to it. You know what I mean? Like, he shows up, he understands it. And I mean, it's too late. Like, there's no way. Well, no, you can never say never. He may do something.
I don't see it.
But what's the...
There's no way of telling, because at this point, I feel like what he's doing is highly influenced by what's already happening in the world, not necessarily what's happening in Kanye's head. So it's like, we don't know what's going on in his head yet. But that's how half of Pablo felt to me.
You got to have zero. You can't hang out with Jay-Z and not have your ear to the street. Because Jay-Z doesn't do whatchamacallits. He doesn't do drop-ins on songs. Like, he won't give you a verse, like, easily.
Right, yeah.
But he's on that song that's burning up the radio right now.
But I don't know if that's necessarily having ear to the streets or having... strong faith in whatever it is that you're coming up with.
But in every song he always has a nod to what's hot. Like, he had that freestyle where he was like, I'm from Bed-Stuy, killing with the flow. And then, like, on the new song, he was just like, I got 21 Grammys. And, like, he does the...
Oh,
the
sure, no, mm-hmm. Yeah, he does, but, I mean, like...
Kanye does that same thing where it's just like, what did they call trap music in Chicago? It had a certain name before it, like, hit.
Drill?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was just like that was bubbling, and he was just like, "I'm on."
Oh,
the song.
Yeah, he's
I'm
on that. Sure. Yeah. 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 I'm on the song. But I feel like normally he, when coming up with his own stuff, might be influenced by all of that. But then it went through a Kanye filter and came out a different way. I felt like
the opposite of what Drake does.
Man, fucking, I mean, Drake too. I'm gonna hear it on that, but
his whole album could have been produced by Travis Scott. Like, Travis Scott did that for Kanye years ago.
And that's the thing, is that I was like, well, I mean, this could be by whoever is hot at the time, I didn't necessarily.
You got all them song. What is it like, grunge rap or whatever the shit's called in the UK? Like, Travis Scott's been doing that shit for years. He gives it up to Dizzy Rascal and all those other guys.
Grime.
Yeah. So you got all those, like, Grime. You got, like,
I saw Dizzy Rascal perform years ago in Atlanta, and it felt like what was happening in Atlanta at the time. I was like, oh, this, like, because, I mean, you know, when you hear it, you're like, this, I'm not familiar. I mean, it's fine. I like it.
Yeah.
But then when I saw him perform, I was like, oh, this, like, I see how he got to this from, like, what I was hearing from Atlanta. This was like the early 2000s or whatever. Like, I could see from, like, that tear the club up kind of shit that was happening, how he got there with a twist. And that's what I mean by hearing what's hot and then it going through your filter. And I kind of felt like Pablo didn't go through enough of a Kanye filter. It was just like, that was kind of hot. Yeah. And also, like, Yeezus to me is like one of the best albums. Like, I love it. And so I was hoping that it would be like something else that kind of, like, he heard something and then it would just be filtered more. Not necessarily but it just felt
aggressive. That Yeezus album is aggressive.
I love it so much.
But it's distinct and it's...
It's very distinct and nothing... That was not an ear to the street.
We're too far running out of time now.
Of course we are. We've talked about so many things.
We got it. We have, like, gone off the rails. We didn't even get into the video.
What video?
But
the song.
The song video.
Oh, it was also equally cartoonish.
Yay.
All right, there we go.
it was Donkey Kong, which is the gorilla saving the white woman.
That wasn't. It was Donkey Kong.
And Galactica.
And Space Invaders.
Galaga? Galaga.
That wasn't also Space Invaders?
Mm-hmm. No. Those were two separate ones.
Space Invaders Galaga was Atari.
And then they had the swooping ones.
Space Invaders was Atari.
No, and there was only one. Which, I mean, the same with, but those came down on the line in Space Invaders. And then one at a time maybe would come down. Whereas in Galaga, a whole line of enemies would come down and shoot at you. They're the only video games I play. I only play two video games, and it's Galaga and Space Invaders. Those are the only ones.
All right. Well, we got to get into the Rob element of this episode.
Oh, so what does that mean? Oh,
it means one of the reasons that Rob isn't here is because of the damaging info we found on him. You haven't been experienced this. But we have an exclusive track from Rob's college mixtape.
Oh, please, please, please give us this track.
I love y'all, UGA. I love y'all. I don't know what it is on this campus I'm doing, but if I did, I wouldn't be Robert Hayes. I'm killing it and I want to share my stuff with y'all, 'cause some of y'all could be doing the same thing. And my heart keeps beating triple time with graduation on my mind. I can't figure out just what to do, so I did this week for you. It's Robert Week, it is here, it is finally here. I'll lose all control when Trey Songz hit the stage. No homo, don't mean to sound gay, just saying that I am so amazed that we have a week that is gonna be cool, and I will rule and must be right off of my feet. Can't explain all the events of our week. Time after time, the Greeks had tried to fight it, but the buzz of campus kept us going strong. And you know that those shirts are so stylish that if you didn't buy one, you feel alone. And my heart starts beating triple time with graduation on my mind, 'cause I don't know what I'm gonna do, but I have this week for you. It's Robert Week, it is here, it is finally here. We'll lose all control at Thirsty University. Over me, I will be amazed if I do not play with somebody's little feet. Don't know what that means, but y'all should check out my feet, 'cause the kicks that are on my feet are so fresh, 'cause it is Robert Week. They try hard to fight it, no way can they deny it, 'cause it's my week. Talking about Rob Week, it's Robert Week, it is here, it is finally here. Control at Thirsty University, campus legends week. I'm like their mascot, and I want you to hang with me during week, during my week, 'cause I will be neat and it will knock you off your feet. Can't explain all the love from Robert Week. Love starts racing through my veins. It's proper week. Ooh, there's something I can't explain. Something about the way I do, the way I do it.
Knocks me right off of my feet.
Can't explain all the stuff of proper week.
Explain.
So what you're telling me is there's a chance that Ja Rule and Rob are going to team up for a Rob Week festival. That's going to happen.
I didn't go there, but it doesn't sound as far-fetched after Fyre Festival and hearing the song.
What is Rob Week?
I don't know. We're going to have to ask him that on the next episode to get like exact clarification, but I believe Rob put out a mixtape
the week he was getting ready to graduate.
The week he was getting ready to graduate.
That's what I'm judging by the lyrics. That's...
And
but he's talking about Trey Songz hitting the stage.
Well, you know, I mean, at the college you went, you know, at any college, you have those college shows. And
Chris said there was events.
I don't have details on the events. I didn't, like, it's a week.
Oh, no, I don't think Rob brought in
I don't put anything past Rob.
But, like, how do we know?
He might have had Bobby Valentino money.
I mean.
Slow down.
Jay Holiday money. Jay Holiday. Yeah. Life Jennings money.
I mean, everybody got, you just put up bail and you got like, you got Life Jennings money. You got bail? Okay, put your house up. Just don't run, Life, so I can get this money back.
Who is that? Jibs?
Oh, no.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I've got that kind of money at the bottom of my tote, bag right now.
I'm pretty sure we can Jibs, Hurricane Chris right now.
We can pull all our money together and get the whole... You guys want to do a concert? You want to do you want to do a festival? We should do a festival.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd pay $4,500 to see Hurricane Chris. We could do it in Chris's backyard.
We could. After we do have a cutoff period, though.
Yeah, at the end of the Halle Berry song. And we're done. Everybody out.
Some angry Greek neighbors are going to shut it down.
But
how much would you pay to have Rock perform this song?
Okay.
What's the event?
It's whatever we want. We're paying Rob to do this song.
Honestly, like I would give him $200. Like if I headline the club, I wouldn't do a closer. Like I would give him $200 if he just came out and without any introduction, like without me setting it up in any way, if he just did all 6 minutes of that song and then just walked off stage and that's my show. That's it.
Here's the thing. I think you could get him to do it because there was a time where he was playing the kazoo during his sets.
Yes.
There was a time where he...
he's grown.
I can't remember if he played a guitar or if he just carried it out and wore like a
mask. I've only ever seen photos of that.
And he... Oh, no. I was in green rooms going, what is this dude doing? And he would just... He'd just have his gear with him and we're like, what you gonna do with the Daft Punk helmet there, Rob? And he's like, you see? And he'd just go out and pop and lock for half of his set. And then
I enjoy this.
But the kazoo thing that lasted like years.
Came to the New York with the kazoo.
Yeah. He dropped it quickly.
Harmonica. He had the harmonica.
No. He had.
Why did I not see that?
You never seen Robin's harmonica?
I don't know if I saw it. The harmonica may have happened in the year that I left, and he was still there. But the kazoo, I mean, he had it in his pocket at all times. He had a kazoo on.
Make sure I do know what a kazoo is.
It's the little...
They're usually blue.
You blow on it.
Yeah.
They got like a white release on it, and then one side's narrow, and the other side's
kind of wide, blow in the narrow part. It looks like...
a noisemaker.
It looks like a birthday thing. Yes, yeah. But without that thing that... flips out.
Usually kazoos, party hats, all that shit comes together.
But I mean, you could
also see that, man. He came here. I met him in DC, and then he had that killer joke about weddings, and then I never saw a kazoo. I wish I would have saw the kazoo.
Oh yeah, no, he probably had it in his pocket at that time, and he just didn't. You know, you got to feel out the crowd before you break out a kazoo.
If he had a
6 minute version of Week. You gotta feel out the crowd first.
Nah, I wanted to bring him right out to Week.
I'll ask him, and if he has it, I'll make sure he brings it on the next episode.
Oh man,
and that's how we'll start it off, because I need explanations, I need answers.
Oh yeah,
for how
yeah.
this came about.
Also, I just pictured a beautiful slideshow of Robin like boudoir photos with this version of Week playing in the background. I'm gonna see if I can make that happen for you. Yeah.
Some makes me think that there exists a music video of some form.
of, you know what? If Vine was still around, you'd be able to see him singing many R&B classics, 6 seconds at a time.
You got.
He did that a lot.
I mean, he's still doing it on his Instagram.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I mean, like,
but those expire.
You got a P.O. box? You guys need to set up a book of your P.O. box. I want a copy of that. There's someone listening who went to school with him who got that mixtape.
Oh, there are a lot of people.
I want that full mixtape.
There are a lot of people who.
I want.
UGA is a big school.
I believe.
There aren't that many black folks, but I mean, they still. I'm sure every black person who was on that campus at the time had a tape.
You keep it. You keep something like that.
Yeah. Because I mean, he started doing comedy bare not long after.
We'll
that.
Get it. We'll do Rob Week on the podcast. And
oh
we'll play.
Please. Oh man. Oh yeah. It's coming up on graduation time.
Oh yeah.
Every day you play a track from. Oh, every episode. Oh, come on. You do the whole episode about Rob Week and just his songs.
Exactly.
Oh, we're going to get to the bottom of Rob Hayes.
And we'll have you guys will come back.
Man.
Because you guys have been great. This is like one of the best episodes we've done because we went everywhere, I feel like.
Yeah, we did. This is a very freewheeling book.
I knew when I needed somebody to step in and do the podcast with me, I said, I need knowledge, I need energy, I need people who know their shit. So, of course, I asked Doug Passion.
Oh, you're too kind.
Thank you guys for coming. Before we got here, where can everybody find you? What are you guys up to? Let us know.
Yeah. I'm on Big C Comedy on Instagram and Twitter, and you can also do it on Facebook. I'm all over the place, man, so just look for me. I'm probably in your city somewhere.
If you at Silky Jumbo, all one word, traditional spelling, in pretty much everything, your Instagram, your Snapchat, even though I don't know how to work it, your Twitter for sure, and on Facebook, that's where you can find me. And when will this?
It's coming out May 2nd.
Oh, and if for some for some reason you live in Portland, Oregon, the weekend of the 5th through the 7th, I'll be there as part of the Bridgetown Comedy Festival.
If you live in New York, look for Thug Passion.
Look for
Juice.
Thug Passion. Yeah, we present Juice, and it's going to be fire.
So good.
Yeah. And also, we'll DJ any party
apparently
you
guys are
DJ now.
Post club and corporate events.
We got two gigs. Shout out this woman's barbecue we're going to DJ. And the
Yo, man, my birthday is coming up soon. Maybe.
Oh, yeah, we got you. Clearly, we got as long as you have an internet connection, we can get to Spotify, and you don't mind a long pause in between songs. We got you.
Y'all got rates?
No blend.
No blend. Yeah, no blend.
No blend.
No blend.
No blend.
All right. You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram and all social media at Sir Chris Daniels. Just follow that. I'll be at Knitting Factory May 7th. I'll be in Baltimore for Charm City County Festival May 12th. And Bookie A is going to be at the Birmingham Comedy Festival May 21st, so check that out. Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Joe Cilio, Alex Ramsey, and Brett Boehm. For more podcasts, please visit ForeverDogProductions.com.